Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dottillo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, Cullen handling everything behind the control panel here for us. Let's go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to Bottle Man. Bottle Man, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Yes, how y'all doing, fellas?
All right, Bottle Man.
Yes, sir. Fate is a something to thank, hope for, and everything the thing not seen. I told Bobby, and I'll tell you, Mr. Mike, we have a gumbo pot. We have Samson Ntuka. We have Mason Tipton. Those are our slot receivers. They're experienced. They're educated. They went to some major university. They get the endorsements already. And the troop is in the pudding. All you have to do is stir the pot. Speed, our defense is going to represent. That we're going to win the Super Bowl.
But bottom line, you talk about all these receivers. Okay, how are we going to block for the quarterback so the quarterback can get him the ball? You're not worried about the offensive line?
Man, my issues is on offense, bottom line. It ain't on defense or special teams, I'll be honest.
Yes, sir. But check this out. When you spread in the field and nobody know what you have done, but this is a whole new regime, a whole new all the speed we have, you have 7 receivers. You have JT, the tallest one we have. You have about 12 receivers. But the two, Samson's been proving himself. Mason Tipton's been proving himself like they've been in the league. I watched Chris Olave when he got drafted. I know he was ready when I first seen him. I knew where he was ready when I first seen him. They had it on their mind last year to go to the Super Bowl.
Well, I don't know about the Super Bowl. How about we just make the playoffs first? First things first, you know. We got to avoid not being 4 straight seasons, not being in the postseason. That bottom line, we got to take baby steps first, I think. And I always say this. Would you be happy with this, bottom line? I think you're going to be objective with this, hopefully. I don't know. So what if we kind of achieved, if you looked in your crystal ball, bottom line, or, when you're saying your prayers, that the Saints would accomplish exactly what the Buccaneers with Tampa Bay did last year, where they won the NFC South. And then we host a playoff game, and then we win that game. Because right now, no one realistically around the country thinks anybody out of the NFC South is representing the NFC in the Super Bowl. Yep. Even though everyone from a national perspective is on Atlanta's bandwagon as far as winning the NFC South, but Mike, it's kind of...
I wouldn't count out the Buccaneers, I'm telling you.
But Mike, but they still looking
but
at the
they're
Buccaneers.
They're not looking at them
Atlanta
as a Super Bowl.
Yeah, more like, okay, if they win the NFC South, they host a game, and then they're not representing the NFC. That's what I'm saying. When you took, it's different between being a playoff team and then being the elite in a conference, whether it's the AFC or NFC.
Because if people are picking in the NFC, they're picking the Packers or the Lions or the 49ers.
Yeah. They're
it's not, those three.
Yeah, and then if you're going to go in the NFC East, we think the Eagles are going to bounce back. You know, Mike, it's not no one coming out the NFC South right now. Then if you look like a true dark horse, because they always have teams, bottom line, that don't make the playoffs, it's not so much with the Saints right now. You know who it is? Everyone, because of the quarterback, probably because of Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams.
Washington.
It's Chicago and Washington that they think might be one of those dark horses.
Because they saw what happened in Houston.
Yeah, with C.J. Stroud.
But listen, that's an anomaly. That doesn't happen often to see. And would you have taken Houston's roster last year or the Commanders' roster this year? Before the season started, you don't know.
Yeah, exactly, Mike. That's how I say that's a good homework assignment because you see where are you grading, what position, and all.
Ain't nobody picking last year at this time thought the Texans would get double-digit wins and win a playoff game.
And you know who's been steady for them, Mike? The LSU connection with the Texans, that cornerback. Huh?
Sting. Hey, man, just hope that he can stay healthy.
Yeah.
Stingley can stay healthy.
Right, Mike, because you know who are you counting on?
And that guy coming off the edge, Daniil Hunter, he's another guy. If he can stay healthy for you, boy, he can give you a lot of pressure. And him and Will Anderson Jr. coming off the edges. Okay, you're not hiding no more, okay?
Right, you're exposed now.
And so everybody has watched you now for a year. It'll be interesting to see the growth with C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see because you look, that's an interesting division, the AFC South, with Anthony Richardson, how he's going to bounce back from his injury in the Colts, and then you look at the Jaguars. The Jaguars probably one of the most disappointing teams last year.
They got talent.
In the AFC South, right? Mike Holliday, they kind of fell on the
way. Trevor Lawrence, he's got to be the guy.
All right, he has to bounce back big time because Mike,
he was disappointing last year.
But he's surely getting paid like he's not getting disappointed.
His accountant is not disappointed.
So, Mike, it's almost, I guess, because of confidence in the quarterback play, the fourth banana is the Titans.
They ain't going nowhere.
You know what I mean? But it's like.
I hate to say it, but it's true. They ain't going nowhere.
But that's, you're looking at, okay, who's going to contend with Houston? It'd be more the Colts and the Jaguars. So, bottom end, I don't know. The bottom line is it's two for one from the get-go. You're playing the Carolina Panthers kick off the season. You cannot afford to lose a division game because not only you 0-1 for the season, but you 0-1 in the NFC South. So, I mean, Mike, when you say I know we better than Carolina.
You know you better than the
right,
Panthers.
Right. So we got to win that game. You're playing at home, the Dome, opening the season. It's a must win. I mean, you hate to say that.
All of them are must wins, but that one you got to put in your pocket.
To set the tone and bottom man, how optimistic, I think he's still on, how optimistic you'd be if we beat Carolina and then all of a sudden we whoop the Cowgirls in Dallas and we do.
Well, you know, he would want that one more than the Carolina game, bottom man.
Hey, let me tell you what's going on. And listen, and I thank God that we're still living to be able to talk these moments. This is for Mr. Benson and Miss Benson and our community, the state of Louisiana and everything. This is for crime and everything. This is like a new Katrina, a new everything. We about to set it off, man. The gumbo pot is ready, man. We're gonna stay healthy. We're gonna unnecessary dick hand everybody playing. Everybody know what we're playing for. We're in that mood now.
Bottom man, I need to talk to you every day because you got a lot of enthusiasm.
Well, he's looking at the glass beyond half full.
It's spilling over.
Yeah, it's flowing over. That's why they play the game. We got to see in the NFL.
We'll see.
You say any given Sunday, the bottom man and the Who Dat Nation. I can tell you right now, we ain't been like this in a while. We definitely under the radar. We are under the radar. There's no one expect. Oh, the Saints are nobody's dark horse.
You stealth.
You know how, Mike, even when Sean Payton and Drew, we were like, oh, that was a disappointing season. We were hovering around 500. They'd still tell you, watch out for the Saints.
Because of Drew.
There ain't nobody saying that now.
No.
No, I'm telling you. You do shows around the country and all.
Ain't no one.
No, we're under the radar. I'm telling you. So I don't know if that's going to be a good or bad thing. It's good if you can keep that chip on your shoulder, then you win. And then all of a sudden, because this could be a team, Mike. This happens every year that you could be an ESPN show, whatever it might be, after like a month and a half. Whoa, no one expected this
team. Okay, no one thought the Texans or the Bucks would do what they did last year.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody picking that.
All of a sudden, oh, look, they'd have to be undefeated. Oh, they're 5-1, they're leading the division. Look at the fast start they got off of. Right now, I'm just hoping we said this, Mike, let's say a month and a half. I just hope the team, and I'm still going to have hope then, if we 3-3.
I'd be thrilled with that.
If we 1-5, I'll be highly discouraged because that ain't going to be good.
We'll be back with more sports talk, and we'll have on with us Tim Brando from Fox Sports talking a little bit of college football right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line, another guy from Louisiana, Tim Brando. Timmy, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
You bet, Mike and Bobby. It's great to be with both of you. Before we get rolling, let me just, because I'm on in New Orleans with you guys, I wanted to send out heartfelt prayers and concern for our colleague Ed Daniels.
Sure enough,
I've been following that story from distance, obviously, and I just want to wish them all the best, his entire family and extended family. I was mentioning that. To some of my buddies down there, they're still in the media that I know really well that have been reporters as long as Ed's been a reporter. And he started about the same time I did.
Yeah, living legend.
He's been a fixture down there for so long. And guys that work in local television for that long a period of time, man, they've gone through a lot. It's not easy. And a lot of times he's a one-man band. And the time and effort and enthusiasm he's always brought to that job, I just hope everyone out there realizes what that guy has meant to so many people. I know the Saints did. I thought that was wonderful what Mrs. Benson did for him and for his wife, Robin. So just wanted to send out my love and affection and prayers for them before we got rolling.
No question about it. Well, but you know what? He's been a great guy. I've known him for almost 40 years. Changed the way people covered high school football here. No one else. He was the guy.
Yeah, the Friday Night Lights when he does it, you know, with JT and stuff. And to show you, you know, Tim, how you go way back. He was in Lake Charles at McNeese when I was at Northwestern covering the game. When they had Stephen Starr, and there was like 7 NFL players in a game between McNeese and Northwestern State University. 7. Now you hope they have 1 or, you know, potentially that. Yeah. So, then he covered me when I was with the Saints, and so old school. But, Tim, a lot like you, a living legend, and all what you've been through, and now the great job that you do with Fox. And I know you got to be ecstatic that I think you'd be a fan of this, that is long overdue. To expand the playoffs, because it isn't more better.
He was the first national reporter that talked about it, and lengthy, long before anybody else did. You were the first, Tim. I'll never forget that. You were the absolute first one.
Well, thanks, and I do feel some vindication that some of this has finally come to fruition. But I will also caution everybody out there that just because we've got more access, and we do, we've got a lot more access, which is great for the game. And so much of what's been going on that's been bringing in so much negative publicity with the transition that's going on with the portal and with NIL and all that, I think once toe meets leather, people are going to start concentrating on the game and how great the game is and how much better the regular season games are going to be. A lot of the realignment with the new configured Big Ten, the new configuration of the Big 12 and SEC and ACC is really going to make for better matchups and more important games in the month of November. But all that being said, fellas, until the College Football Playoff Committee comes to us with some real meat and criteria for what it takes to be in the top 12, we still can have the same kind of problems that we had with 12.
That's true.
That we had with 4. We can. Now, it won't be as egregious as, say, the Florida State debacle of a year ago where an undefeated, untied championship team gets left out. We won't see that anymore. But we could see some teams that maybe are out of the Big 12 or out of the ACC that have maybe 11-1 records, and they get knocked out by a 9-3 Big Ten team or 9-3 SEC team. We got to get some specifics, in writing from the committee so we understand what they're working with, as opposed to just being a beauty pageant and going with the biggest brand names. If you look at the AP poll that just came out, until you get to Ole Miss in the 6th spot, it's just brand name after brand name after brand name. Now, Alabama fans are bitching because it's the lowest preseason ranking they've had since 2009. But the bottom line is, on the basis of what, do they deserve to be number 5? I mean, I'm going to tell you, in the SEC, there are easier schedules and teams that are loaded for bear with those easier schedules that, in my mind, should be ranked higher than Alabama. Missouri at the top of that list.
Look at their schedule.
Ole Miss is another team that has a little bit of a break. People that are ranking preseason, the writers, they don't think about or take into consideration the schedules and how teams will fall out. Frankly, I just see more of the same, even with 12. But it is going to be better. Look, I'm not going to throw dirt on it. I wanted it for a long, long time. And now when Tulane wins their conference, by God, and they got the best record among those teams in the group of five, they're going to get in. And by God, they deserve to get in. So it is better. There's no doubt about that.
Now, Tim, do you think, and I think I know the answer you're going to give, but I want to hear it from you, that you talk about leadership, and it just seems like, I don't know if czar is the right word, I guess just a commissioner, that the college football needs a commissioner. And I'm not talking about different commissioners like SEC, you know, Stankey and all. Don't you think overall we need like a commissioner, that type of leadership?
Absolutely. We need someone that's looking out for the best interests of the totality of the game, not just their constituency, okay? Now, look, I don't blame either Commissioner Sankey or Tony Petitti, my former boss at CBS that runs the Big Ten. I don't blame them for making sure that the makeup of the 12 teams is going to be this, this, and this, and the financial breakout is in their favor. They are the big dogs, and they've earned that position, no doubt about it. But they are what? First and foremost, beholden to the presidents of the universities within their conferences. They're not beholden to anything that's big picture about what's in the best interest of college football. And that's why we need someone. Again, those conference commissioners have every right and should continue to negotiate the television rights for their conferences, continue to govern their leagues, schools, the way they so choose. But there needs to be, okay, someone that's overseeing all of those commissioners that they all turn to so that we're doling out issues that are taking place off the field or on the field, okay, with rules and regulations as much be adhered to. We need that czar. We need someone that's looking out for the betterment of the game. The NCAA can't do that. Charlie Baker can't do that.
Nope. Right.
I mean, he can't even get into the same room with those four commissioners of the power leagues. We need them to settle. I've always said Saban would have been a great, and maybe if he gets bored with game day after a few years, maybe he's somebody that they would turn to, because I do think Nick cares about all of college football. Either him, someone like him. I could name three or four other people that I think would do a tremendous job that have been a part of the National Football Foundation for a long, long time. Bobby, if you thought about it, you probably could too. The reality is we got to make sure that we take the best care of the game now that we ever have, because it's never faced as many issues in terms of its financial circumstances as it does now. Moving forward, I mean, if we don't have an election that gives the Republicans control of two of the three branches of government, we're not going to see the NCAA get any kind of congressional help. It's not going to happen. They've got to learn how to handle collective bargaining. They're going to have to borrow some of what's been going on from a business model standpoint from the NFL. In order to survive, that's what they're going to have to do. And by the way, Bobby, when it comes to the Northwestern states of the FCS, the ULMs, and the Louisianas of the group of four or five, the protection of those programs in those leagues, the Mountain West, the American Conference, the
Southland Conference,
Sun Belt, yes, Southland Conference, Sun Belt, they may be out of business in 10 years if we don't have someone looking out for the totality of Division I college football.
Now, you know, Tim, when I look at LSU and obviously the fans, you know, they look, oh, we hovering right around, you know, 12, 13, whatever. And I look up, you know, the 12-team playoff and all that. And I look, I mean, all the football you've witnessed in Louisiana, if you have LSU season tickets and you get UCLA come into town, I'm not even going to talk about, like, Ole Miss, you know, Alabama. Mm-hmm. But I look at, like, when I don't think we've ever witnessed, now they kick off in Las Vegas against USC, like UCLA's coming to Baton Rouge in Oklahoma. I don't think we've ever witnessed that. But I look at the schedule. I think it's favorable.
How good is that?
Yeah, it's all unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. And I'll tell you something else, Bobby. If their defense can be shored up, if that secondary and defensive front can get better,
All right. And they do take care of business. By the way, USC has no business being ranked preseason 23.
They shouldn't be in that position.
I mean, that was a 7-5 team a year ago. You tell me any other team that went 7-5 last year that would be in the top 25 besides USC. Come on. To me,
right.
That just makes no sense.
Reputation.
But, yeah,
absolutely. And look, LSU could be inflated at 13. We don't know. I think Nussmeier is a big-time quarterback. I think the offense will be great. I think you guys would agree with that. But, I mean, you better have something besides a triple-digit ranked defense if you want to win 10 games again this year. I mean, you got to improve in that area. But that is a schedule that is hardwired to get them some attention early without really having to beat anybody that good. I mean, SC, that sounds like a big win, but it wouldn't be. All right, UCLA will be coming in as a prohibitive underdog, but you know what? It is UCLA, and it's unique to Tiger Stadium to have that team in there. So it'll look good. They'll get a lot of
Tim, to me, I think they should be undefeated until October the 12th.
And you may have Ole Miss undefeated.
Ole Miss. Okay, to me.
I do too.
Now, Ole Miss, listen, I know it's Tiger Stadium. But I'd say right now, on the surface, that would be an upset. LSU beats Ole Miss, even though it's at home. But at South Carolina, and like you said, UCLA coming to town, and USC, and they got Nicholls State, South Alabama. No, I think LSU should be undefeated going into that Ole Miss game.
Tim, the other thing about it is USC has not had a first-round pick defensive player 2017. Okay, we are in 2024 today. Every year it's the same song and dance. We're going to get better on the defensive side of football.
But Lincoln Riley doesn't know defense.
But that's not his wheelhouse. And can you name me one player on USC's defense? Years ago, we grew up in a different era of USC. Okay, they were the kingpins. Yeah. If it was John McKay, John Robinson, they were the kingpins. They sort of ruled college football along with Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, those teams. But today, you got to play some form of defense, and USC doesn't do any of that.
Well, their linebackers have been porous. Really, the best player they had defensively a year ago was the kid that transferred from Georgia off the national championship team. He was supposed to be the run stuffer, and that didn't last long either. I had him twice last year, and you know, Patrick Nix put on a show against Caleb Williams in a game out in Eugene. We had listen, the best team out west is Oregon, and I'm going to tell you, they might win the whole damn thing.
It could be.
In the Big Ten this year. They're awfully good. And Dillon Gabriel, if he stays healthy in that offense that Stein, the offensive coordinator, is running for Dan Lanning, that team, I think they'll beat Ohio State early, fellas. I think that's going to be an early game to keep an eye on. Out in Eugene, I think they're going to beat Ohio State in that game. Now, the Buckeyes may still win every game after that, and they have probably the best roster in college football. And if anybody's giving them a run for the money, it might be Georgia, but that's it. The facts are the teams out west that are really good are not named USC or UCLA. They are, in order, they are Oregon, and then after that, Utah. Who might win the Big 12. To be honest with you, they deserve to be ranked better than preseason 12. They're right ahead of LSU in the AP that just came out the other day.
You're in a fist fight every time you get in the ring with Utah.
Tim, I wanted to fans, they get a little confused, and they go, what is Atlantic Coast Conference? What is Stanford and Cal? It just blows the geography out of the water. Aren't they the Pacific Ocean? How could it be Atlantic Coast? You know, it kind of reminds me, Tim, way back when, how can the Saints and the Falcons be in the NFC West? You think that's correct. All going to play out and eventually get that right?
Well, the Cowboys are still in the NFC East.
Yeah, because the Jerry ones in New York market in D.C.
Exactly.
Yeah. That whole regionality thing in college football is, I think it's a big deal to a lot of people, but when we start the season and you see these matchups like Ohio State, Oregon, and other big games in the Big Ten especially, Like, for instance, Washington is going to play an early Friday night game that I'm likely going to be at in Rutgers in Piscataway, New Jersey. And Rutgers has actually got a pretty good team. That might be a hell of a game.
Oh, wow.
The facts are when you look at the Big Ten's additions, okay, with UW, Oregon, USC, and UCLA, it adds a lot, really, to the Big Ten in terms of bringing it a national perspective. I think the Big 12 additions of
the
Colorado, Utah,
all the people,
and the two Arizona schools, even though it doesn't make "quote unquote" regional sense, the schools themselves and how successful they've been in football actually makes it better for those leagues. Now, the issue with the ACC is the programs we're talking about don't bring that same kind of juice. When you're talking Stanford and Cal,
and SMU,
you're talking about and by the way, there would probably be no Stanford and Cal in the ACC were it not for the oil barons at SMU that have bankrolled Cal and Stanford that money, because they don't even want the money. SMU just wanted the bid. You know, SMU is like, we don't need your damn money. We just want to be in the league where we win it and we get into playoffs. I'm telling you guys, the coach, Lashley, a longtime offensive coordinator in the SEC, Brent Lashley,
yeah,
that guy can coach. Don't be shocked if SMU doesn't beat somebody like Clemson or Florida State or anybody else that's deemed really good in the ACC. Those boys from that side of Dallas, Texas, they got more money than they know what to do with, and they can't wait to knock down some big boys in the ACC.
Now, Tim, before we let you run, what's your view on the U? University of Miami, they're like 18 or 19, you know, ACC. And the reason why I bring that up, because my old roommate, Coach Ogeron, is now coaching right with Cristobal and his two sons. They're all on the staff. He's loving it. He's loving it. So he said, Bobby, I'm telling you, I'm going to send you a coach's shirt. Well, watch out for the U this year.
So they got three defensive line coaches at Miami now.
Yeah. So we knew
that if Coach O would be coaching again, it would probably be, if not in L.A., it'd have to be Miami, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, you got that penthouse on South Beach.
Living life, Lord.
Yeah. And, oh, by the way, those yachts that he's fishing off of are close by.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have to go far. I think they're going to be really good, Bobby. That's a team. Right now, I'd put them in a 9-3 record with an outside chance of making the playoff. I would.
Tim, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always great insights, and, man, we appreciate your time, buddy.
All right, Tim.
My pleasure, fellas. Anytime.
All righty. Tim Brando of Fox Sports. Always great insights on the NFL. And we'll save this for Triple Option, but the Falcons are on the verge of making a big trade for a pass rusher.
I thought you were going to tell me Justin Simmons. After we come back from the break, what in the hell is happening with Justin Simmons? Is he going to wait till the last week?
He could well be. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, it's our Triple Option feature and is being reported by numerous people covering the NFL that the Patriots have a deal in place. It's real close. That they're going to send their four-time All-Pro outside linebacker defensive end, Matt Judon, who over the last 3 years has collected 32 quarterback sacks in the league, to the Atlanta Falcons. We don't know the details of the trade yet, but it looks as though Matt Judon, a four-time All-Pro outside linebacker defensive end, pass rush specialist, is going to be sent to the Atlanta Falcons. And over the last 3 years, 32 quarterbacks.
Well, the Falcons are all in. They're all in. The Saints, we got to get our pass rush better. What has been perceived as the weakness for Atlanta offensive
defensive end?
No pass rush. No pass rush. So it seems like they've addressed that. So they're pushing all their chips in the middle, Mike.
No, off the blank is, okay, I paid for Kirk Cousins.
All that Home Depot money.
Exactly. I paid for Kirk Cousins. Hey, get a pass rusher now. And they went out and got Matt Judon.
Even more than Justin Simmons at safety.
They need help there, too, because, they've been ravaged with injuries at that point. So we don't have the full details of the trade, but the Patriots are sending Matt Judon to the Atlanta Falcons. Steve, you next.
Unfortunately, guys, we talked about it a little bit, I know, during the show already. J.J. McCarthy's rookie season, over before it really began, suffered a tear in his right meniscus during Minnesota's preseason opener. And a weird stat that comes out, he's the first quarterback drafted in the top 10 during the Super Bowl era, that's since 1967, to miss his entire rookie season due to an injury. The Vikings selected McCarthy out of Michigan with the 10th overall pick in April, making him the fifth QB chosen in the first 10 picks. Now, the Vikings do have a little bit of backup insurance with McCarthy sidelined. The new starting QB job is Sam Darnold.
No, Sam Darnold. And you know, you bring up the Vikings before I get into my triple option. I didn't realize this. Do you know, remember when the Ravens had that winning streak in preseason, like 20-something games?
Yeah.
Well, from the negative, I didn't realize this. You know, it does matter when you win how you feel in the locker room. You know, the Vikings had a 10-game preseason losing streak until they finally, won last week. You got to go back to in 2019, they won at home against the Cardinals 24-23. So they had a 10-game losing streak. You know, it doesn't matter preseason. But I just thought that was interesting because it's all connected to the Vikings.
Okay, guys, let me cut into this. ESPN and Adam Schefter is reporting
dun, 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 dun.
That the Falcons are giving up a third-round pick for Matt Judon.
So I think, that's good for Atlanta. A third, not first round or
no first or second, third round pick.
Whoa,
for Matt Judon. That tells me, man, he wanted out, and the Patriots wanted to send him out.
Right, right. Well, what would the Patriots? You know, you took Belichick or Tom Brady,
Gerard Mayo running the show now.
But you know what's crazy? Since Tom Brady has left the Patriots.
The magic has too, right?
Belichick at all. Now think about that. Now Tom Brady went to Tampa. They won a Super Bowl. Boy, how's the mighty has fallen. Because the 21st century, if you look at basically two decades, it was the Patriots. Not anymore. No one talks about the Patriots. They are so irrelevant. Now you might talk about Aaron Rodgers and the Jets, Tua, and you look Tyreek Hill and all
sure.
The Dolphins, Josh Allen and the Bills. No, the Patriots are like Fort Banana.
The old penthouse to the outhouse.
No, yeah, exactly. See, that's a great thing. Now, how about this? This is my triple option. You know, when you score 100 points, and well, Bob, what are you talking about scoring 100 points? I'm not talking about cricket. I'm talking about basketball. Like when Will Chamberlain scored 100 points. Then I didn't know this till I read it. I mean, there's another individual named Frank Selvey. Frank Selvey, an All-American guard at Furman University in South Carolina, who scored an NCAA Division I record, 100 points in a game. Now, he also played 9 seasons in the NBA. So he was a professional basketball player. Now, you have to look at when he played. They didn't have any brothers playing at that time. It was in the early 50s. But 6'3", Selvey was born in Corbin, Kentucky. He played at Furman from 1952 to 54 and twice led, because we talk about Pistol Pete about this, but what do you have to average, you know, pre-3-point play? He twice led the NCAA in scoring average at 41.7 points as a senior. Well, that year as a senior, Selvey made history by scoring 100 points. He had 41 field goals, 18 free throws. They won 145-95 over Newberry. But Selvey, you know, talk about like he could score, put the ball in the hoop. He scored 40 points on more than 22 occasions in 78 collegiate games. So the reason why I bring this up, because he passed away at the age of 91.
I saw that, 91 years old.
91 years of age. But, you know, he tells his grandkids, your papa once scored 100 points in a game.
Oh, how come I didn't see it on TV?
They go, yeah, right. Oh, now let me tell you about what happened. This is way before you were born.
Okay, even Wilt can't do that because they didn't have film of it.
Right.
When he scored the 100.
But you know what, the Philadelphia Warriors, now think about that. When the 76ers, the Philadelphia Warriors. And Wilt Chamberlain scoring 100. Well, Mike, I didn't know if anybody else, you know, maybe it's some high school, but... Frank Selvey, Division One NCAA Division One record, actually scored 100 points in a game.
Again, Matt Judon traded from the New England Patriots, pass rush specialist, 32 sacks over the last 3 years, to the Atlanta Falcons for a third-round pick. Boo. We'll be back to finish it off here on Sports Talk on hour number two right after this break. Finishing up here in hour number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870. Come back at 6 o'clock. We'll have a lot of training camp sound bank brought to you by the sound banking of First American Bank. And at 7:25, the voice of the Saints, Mike Hoss. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this news break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, it's our triple option feature and is being reported by numerous people covering the NFL that the Patriots have a deal in place. It's real close that they're going to send their four-time All-Pro outside linebacker defensive end Matt Judon, who over the last 3 years has collected 32 quarterback sacks in the league, to the Atlanta Falcons. We don't know the details of the trade yet, but it looks as though Matt Judon, a four-time All-Pro outside linebacker defensive end, pass rush specialist, is going to be sent to the Atlanta Falcons. And over the last 3 years, 32 quarterback
sacks.
Well,
the Falcons are all in. They're all in. You might say, well, the Saints, we got to get our pass rush better. What has been perceived as the weakness for Atlanta offensive
defensive end?
No pass rush. So it seems like they've addressed that. So they're pushing all their chips to in the middle, Mike.
No, off the blank is, okay, I paid for Kirk Cousins.
All that Home Depot money.
Well, exactly. I paid for Kirk Cousins. Hey, get a pass rusher now. And they went out and got Matt Judon.
Even more than Justin Simmons at safety.
And they need help there, too, because, they've been ravaged with injuries at that point. So we don't have the full details of the trade, but the Patriots are sending Matt Judon to the Atlanta Falcons. Steve, you next.
Unfortunately, guys, we talked about it a little bit, I know, during the show already. J.J. McCarthy's rookie season, over before it really began, suffered a tear in his right meniscus during Minnesota's preseason opener. And a weird stat that comes out, he's the first quarterback drafted in the top 10 during the Super Bowl era, that's since 1967, to miss his entire rookie season due to an injury. The Vikings selected McCarthy out of Michigan with the 10th overall pick in April, making him the fifth QB chosen in the first 10 picks. Now, the Vikings do have a little bit of backup insurance with McCarthy sidelined. The new starting QB job is Sam Darnold.
No, Sam Darnold. And you know, you bring up the Vikings before I get into my triple option. I didn't realize this. Remember the Ravens had that winning streak in preseason, like 20-something games?
Yeah.
Well, from the negative, I didn't realize this. You know, it does matter when you win how you feel in the locker room. You know, the Vikings had a 10-game preseason losing streak until they finally, won last week. You got to go back to in 2019, they won at home against the Cardinals 24-23. So they had a 10-game losing streak. You know, it didn't matter preseason. But I just thought that was interesting because it's all connected to the Vikings.
Okay, guys, let me cut into this. ESPN and Adam Schefter is reporting that the Falcons are giving up a third-round pick for Matt Judon.
So that's good for Atlanta. A third, not first round or
no first or second, third round pick.
Whoa,
for Matt Judon. That tells me, man, he wanted out, and the Patriots wanted to send him out.
Right. Well, what would the Patriots? You took Belichick or Tom Brady,
Rod Mayo running the show now.
But you know what's crazy? Since Tom Brady has left the Patriots.
The Magic has too, right?
Belichick at all. Now, think about that. Now, Tom Brady went to Tampa. They won a Super Bowl. Boy, how the mighty has fallen. Because the 21st century, if you look at basically two decades, it was the Patriots. Not anymore. No one talks about the Patriots. They are so irrelevant. Now you might talk about Aaron Rodgers and the Jets, Tua, and you look Tyreek Hill and all the Dolphins, Josh Allen and the Bills. No, the Patriots are like Fort Banana.
The old penthouse to the outhouse.
Yeah, exactly. See, that's a great thing. Now, how about this? This is my triple option. You know, when you score 100 points, and well, Bob, what are you talking about scoring 100 points? I'm not talking about cricket. I'm talking about basketball. Like when Will Chamberlain scored 100 points. Then I didn't know this till I read it. I mean, there's another individual named Frank Selvey. Frank Selvey, an All-American guard at Furman University in South Carolina, who scored an NCAA Division I record, 100 points in a game. Now, he also played 9 seasons in the NBA. So he was a professional basketball player. Now, you have to look at when he played. They didn't have any brothers playing at that time. It was in the early 50s. But 6'3", Selvey was born in Corbin, Kentucky. He played at Furman from 1952 to 54, and twice led, because we talk about Pistol Pete about this, but what do you have to average, you know, pre-3-point play? He twice led the NCAA in scoring average at 41.7 points as a senior. Well, that year as a senior, Selvey made history by scoring 100 points. He had 41 field goals, 18 free throws. They won 145-95 over Newberry. But Selvey, you know, talk about like he could score, put the ball in the hoop. He scored 40 points on more than 22 occasions in 78 collegiate games. So the reason why I bring this up, because he passed away at the age of 91. 90,
I saw that, 91 years old.
91 years of age. But, you know, he tells his grandkids, you know, your papa once scored 100 points in a game.
Oh, how come I didn't see it on TV?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They go, yeah, right. Oh, now let me tell you about what happened. This is way before you were born.
Okay, even Wilt can't do that because they didn't have film of it.
Right.
When he scored the 100.
But you know what, the Philadelphia Warriors, now think about that. When the 76ers, the Philadelphia Warriors, and Wilt Chamberlain scoring 100. Well, Mike, I didn't know if anybody else, you know, maybe it's some high school, but. Frank Selvey, NCAA Division I record, actually scored 100 points in a game.
Again, Matt Judon traded from the New England Patriots, pass rush specialist, 32 sacks over the last 3 years, to the Atlanta Falcons. Boo. For a third-round pick. Boo. We'll be back to finish it off here on Sports Talk on hour number 2 right after this break. Finishing up here in hour number 2 of Sports Talk on the Big 870. Come back at 6 o'clock. We'll have a lot of training camp sound bank brought to you by the sound banking of First American Bank. And at 7:25, the voice of the Saints, Mike Hoss. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this news break. Finishing up here in hour number 2 of Sports Talk on the Big 870. Come back at 6 o'clock. We'll have a lot of training camp sound bank brought to you by the sound banking of First American Bank. And at 7:25, the voice of the Saints, Mike Hoss. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this news break.